All right. Good morning, Grace. Well, I want to take a moment and fill you in on what's kind of going on with me and Jen and the family with all my medical stuff going on. But before I give you the update, I really wanted to highlight this truth that we have rested on, continued to share with you and ourselves over and over. And it's really God's goodness through all of this and through all the circumstances. And Jen and I were talking quite a bit the other day, and it's really one of those things where no matter whatever happens to me, my wife, kids, any of us, nothing can ever change the goodness of God. That He is good no matter what the circumstances. And we've seen His hand lining up every single detail with every doctor, every test. Every single step of this has been ordained by God. So we have so much confidence in the Lord that He's carrying out His plan. Now, with that said, saw the doctor this week, and he confirmed it's the kind of cancer I have is called CLL and SLL, which means it's leukemia and lymphoma. So with that said, it's a blood cancer, and wherever the blood is, that's where the cancer is. So it's affected my bone marrow, my blood, my lymph nodes. But with all that said, the doctors are great. They're already offering treatment. We haven't decided on any yet. We've still got some more things we need to look into and some more results. But the doctors are talking treatment options, and we'll let you know as that progresses. But the reason why I'm not here with you this morning is Friday morning, I have two minor surgeries. They're going to remove a lymph node in my neck. And then also, I mean, this is an amazing thing that God's done. I have not been able to breathe out of my nose for years. And if you've ever sat anywhere close to Jen and I and the kids in the front row, you will hear me on a Sunday morning clear my throat numerous times because of this sinus issue. Well, the head and neck doctor I saw about the lymph node said, oh yeah, we can take care of that with the biopsy. So they're going to do something with my sinuses, and I should be good to go after that. So we're praising the Lord for even that. But we are so thankful for all of you for the amazing support. And man, we feel the prayers. I mean, Jen and I have talked about how much grace we have felt because we know so many of you are praying for us. So we absolutely are so thankful for it. And I want to share with you something that Jen really shared with me, but it was last Saturday. I was studying for a Sunday morning sermon. It was late Saturday night, and I was sitting at one part of the table studying, and Jen was at the other part of the table across from me studying as well. And the Lord led her to a verse, and she wrote this in some of our communication with family. She wrote this, and then I'll share the verse. She put, "We know God is good. His goodness doesn't change based on anything placed in front of us. He is good even when the good looks bad." And then she read this verse to me, and it impacted me and her so immensely. And I'm hoping it does the same for you today because, you know, yeah, we're going through this. You're going through it with us. But Jen and I are both well aware that many of you have your own trials and your own difficulties you're going through. And we want to encourage you in the midst of those that God sees you, He's with you. For me personally, Joshua 1:9 has been amazing. If you haven't read it, look it up. But this verse is the approach, I think, to any trial like this or like what you're going through. It puts everything into this beautiful Christ-centered perspective. So listen to this verse from 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. It says this, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And man, I can tell you, Jen and I feel renewed day by day. God continues to show his goodness, and I think it's really all the prayers and his grace just enabling us to walk this road, and that he's walking it with us and with all of you and what you're going through. So just really want to end this time encouraging you in the goodness of God, and that even in this month-long journey that we've started with my own condition and our diagnosis, and I say our diagnosis because anybody who has a spouse going through something, you're going through it too. And it's both of you together. And this month, we already can see how it's changed us for the better. And that is the beautiful gift of difficulty and trials, is that when God gets a hold of you and God uses it, it can be a gift of heavenly perspective, and it can make everything more valuable, more sweeter, and more impactful for those around you. So what a great hope we have. It's phenomenal. And what a great team we have here at this church. And that's why I get the privilege of having Pastor Jeremy share God's word with you this morning. We were talking earlier this week, got to pray with him. And it sounded like God was already laying a message on his heart for all of you. So very excited for him to deliver God's word. And I get the honor and privilege of praying for him and praying for you. So why don't we do that now before you get into God's word and celebrate communion together as well. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you that, Lord, your goodness and love is everlasting and unchanging. That there is nothing in all the world that could separate us from your love, as Romans 8 says, not even life or death or things created or uncreated, all things, nothing, Lord, can separate us from your love. And Lord, nothing can take away your goodness either. And so, Lord, I pray for any today who might be struggling, thinking that you're not good, or they might be angry with you today, Lord, I pray that you would gently, Lord, sway them by your Holy Spirit into seeing your goodness and how much, Lord, you love them, you have blessed them, how you are with them, and that your good plan for them will be established. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship and in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would bless Pastor Jeremy as he delivers the word that you have given him to share. I pray, Lord, that the power of your Holy Spirit would fill him and enable him, and that your Holy Spirit would enable all of us who hear this message, Lord, to receive it, to grow from it, and, Lord, for you to be glorified in it. And so we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace to us, and may you bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jen and I love you all very much. God bless you guys and see you this week.
So let's get into God's word. I love that he's already prayed for me. And the title this morning is Midnight Hymns. And you might already have an idea of where this is going. And it's so cool just praying and getting ready for this week and knowing that Pastor Phil was going to need, you know, the team and another pastor to step in. So what an honor to be here. Let me ask you, do you have any favorites? You know, favorite Bible stories? Anything that kind of comes to your mind, you're like, man, that is my favorite. That's the one. This is one of those for me. I loved it when, you know, I was a little kindergartner and the felt board and my teacher's teaching about this story. I was just into it, right? And so it's continued. And by the way, this has been something the youth group has been going through. We've been in the book of Acts, and the Acts are a continuation of the church, right? So we are the beginning of Acts. That's where the Holy Spirit came and flew in and like tongues of fire on the heads and in the hearts. But then also we now get to be a part of that church, that same church, which God is in you. Right, believer? The Holy Spirit is living. So when you talk to your neighbor, and again, maybe that kid throwing the tennis ball, you don't give him the Vulcan death grip. You give him the, hey, attaboy, you know, let me encourage you in Christ. And so what about music? Any favorite music? You know the jam? You know the song that just, encourages you, gets you in a better step. What is that? Hopefully it's not, you know, a Barney song and I love you, right? I mean, hopefully it's nothing cheesy and it gets stuck in there. But that song that you sing in the shower, the song when you're out at the mountains, man, I'm looking over here at Mike Ryder. I just remember going to camp with this brother and he's like, let's go. I'm going over to this dead tree and taking a walk. And the whole way he's skipping and singing a song. What is that for you? Maybe at the beach? I was coaching the other day and one of the guys came over. He's like, you know, Jeremy, your sanctuary is in your church, which it is true. This is where I feel like I get close to the Lord, but it's also in my closet, AKA our bathroom. But he said, my sanctuary is outdoors. Is that yours? Is that your place of worship? Do you love that place where you draw close to the Lord? Again, I was saying we just taught through or we're teaching through the book of Acts. So students, this could be a refresher, or like we say, every time you hear God's word, it's new, isn't it? It's new every day. And so God may be teaching us together a little something new. But we just got through with chapter 21, or we're in chapter 21. And if I had this picture, I didn't think far enough ahead. But there's this great picture we've been showing the teens of Paul's missionary journeys and all of his travelings. And it's really cool when you actually put your finger on the map, and it is central. We've got the West Coast and United States way over here on this end. And then we've got all the other stuff on this end. And then where they are ministering is right in the middle. Was that an accident? Probably not, right? That was intentional from the Father. They're ministering in this place. And so that's when Acts 1:8, if you want to turn there for a second, comes alive. Acts 1:8 says this, but you, as Jesus is leaving and blowing into them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the United States of America, even to the uttermost parts of the world. That really is us, right? We weren't even around then. But just to know that's what God's plan was, and it started there with those men. Whew! Is anybody fired up? Is it just me? Like, what does God have in store for us? We talked about this week as a youth group. Could it be to Haiti? Could it be to Belize or Nicaragua or some of these other countries that need Jesus? I know, Tom, I'll give a little shout out later for the prayer ministry, but I know he brings into the prayer ministry on Thursday nights, 7 o'clock. If you want to be there, you can be and pray. He brings in other countries that are struggling, that there are missionaries in there teaching the word of God. We pray for those people and others, right, Tom? So there's a short plug, but we will revisit that. So what has been happening so far? Let me give us some context to what is happening. So this is Paul's second missionary journey. He has come out with Barnabas, and they went on this first journey planting churches, spreading the good news. Many people had never heard the name of Jesus before. Is that radical? That's crazy, right? I mean, we hear Jesus maybe in a name-dropping bad way sometimes. We're like, what'd you say? Were you complimenting my Lord? Oh, you were trying to use his name as a curse word. Okay, let's just get that straight. He's not. So this is their first, they've finished this missionary journey. And now Paul says, hey, Barnabas, let's go back. Wouldn't it be great to go back to a Grace Fellowship and refresh them and see where Pastor Vernie had done the good work and been faithful as a servant and see where they're at now? Would that bless Pastor Vernie? Oh, yeah. He's calling Rosie all the time. How are they doing? What's going on? How's that Pastor Phil doing? All right. So that's what's happening. They're going back to encourage the body. And Paul says to Barnabas, or Barnabas actually says, hey, let's think about John Mark coming with us. And Paul's like, no, not John Mark. I remember what happened. And maybe Paul's got a little something against him in this moment. And he's like, no, he deserted us. We're not going with that brother. And Barnabas says, then I'm going to go with that brother because I think God's got a good ministry still in store for him and for us. And so they depart, and Paul takes on another brother. His name is Silas, and we'll learn about him a little bit. In this, also chapter 16 at the beginning, they go to this place and see this brother named Timothy. And Timothy, it's talked about, all the family of God is talking about Timothy being a good disciple. And Paul says, let's pick him up as well. That's in verse 5, by the way, in 16. So the churches were being strengthened in faith, and they were increasing in number. Maybe the smaller churches have something against the mega church sometimes, you know, because we're like, it's not as intimate. You know, Grace Fellowship, we know everybody. We don't know everybody. I'm here in first service with you guys. People pass me for second service. I'm like, I don't know you. I want to get to know you, but I don't know you, right? Mega church is happening, again, in an organized way where everybody is being discipled. So we may need to learn from that, but growth is happening. And then they come to this part where the Holy Spirit is actually against Paul. He says, I want to go into Asia. And the Spirit says, no, you're not going to do that. And he prays again, and it says the Spirit of Jesus was against him to go into that direction. He says, no, you're not going to go there either. So prayer is effective, amen, and it works, and we can hear from the Lord. And then it says the Spirit said to Paul, go. Actually, a man showed up in a dream. It says, go up into the Europe area. Go into this area that I'm calling you into. And so Paul ended up obeying the Spirit and then going to Macedonia. And guess what happened in Macedonia? I think just nap time? No, exciting stuff for the Lord. And that's where Lydia actually was found. It says that she was a woman of God, but her heart was open to Jesus. She didn't know who Jesus was. And Paul shared the truth. She said yes and became a part of the family. And that's kind of where we're ending for the background. And Paul is in this area, and he baptized Lydia, and it says her whole family, and they broke bread together. Ooh, let's talk about that. Breaking bread and good fellowship. I love it. Let me read for you where we're about to head into, verse 16. So they've just been with Lydia. They've broken bread in her home because she insisted. Any good cooks out there? Anybody with hospitality gift? Raise your hand. Come on, we want to know you. All right, Kathy, we see you. Invited them in, convinced them, stay, Paul, Silas, Timothy, eat with us, break bread. And then this. Verse 16, as it had happened, we were going to a place of prayer, and a slave girl, having a spirit of the evil one or divination, met us, bringing her master such profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. What a great person to have along, right? They're telling you the truth. This is the way to heaven. What a great spokesman. She continued doing this day after day, but Paul, being greatly annoyed, turned and said to her, Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that the hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities, and there they brought them the chief magistrates and said, these men are throwing the city into confusion, being Jews, and are not proclaiming the customs which are lawful for us to accept or observe, being Romans. Not the truth at all. But that is where we come to. Let me just read our passage together. So in light of that, would you stand in our honor of God's word? We'll finish up this last part of the chapter. By the way, it is also communion day. We get to take the Lord's Supper. And so if you want to crack open a little piece, corner, without spilling your juice, you can do that. Let's read God's word. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. They struck them with many blows. They threw them into prison, commanding that the jailer guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison, fastened their feet into the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas, oh Lord, yes, they were praying. They were singing psalms of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, captive audience. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison, the house, were shaken, and immediately the doors were open, everyone's chains were unfastened, and the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open. he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for the lights, rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. After he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And he spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all those who were in his house. And he took them that very hour and night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and his whole household. And he brought them into the house and set food before them, again, some good fellowship of food, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God, he and his whole household. You may be seated. If you know me, I like just a couple points on the outline. That's for me. If you want to track with that, you are welcome to keep us focused. But I wanted to draw this out of verse 1. It says, the crowd rose up together. Did you notice that? It's interesting. The crowd always rises up, right? On the playground, there's a fight. What does the crowd do? They don't disperse. They want to get involved. They want to support the fight, the evil stuff. I want to point out that that is from the evil one. He's a recruiter. He's a liar. He's a whisperer, a deceiver, a trickster. He loves misery. He wants to see someone get punched out and knocked out. But that's not our God, and that's not his people. So in the crowd, usually it's not a good thing. They're mostly up to no good. Genesis 11:4 talks about the Tower of Babel, and it says that the people were there to honor the Lord. No, they were there to honor themselves. They were being selfish and saying, "Hey, we need to make a name for ourselves. Let's build this huge tower." And then God caused confusion. But God's name is always proclaimed by God's people, and there's always unity. Acts 20, verse 24. Let me turn there really quickly. This is Paul. And here's the difference. Paul 20, verse 24 says, "But I do not consider my life any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish the course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly about the gospel of grace of God." Is Paul wanting any credit there? He's saying, "Hey, take a look at me. I'm the best. Been around a long time. Been, you know, doing this thing for a long time, and I'm awesome." No, he's giving glory and credit to the Lord. How do we do with that? In our work, the places of passage that we go in. And while it's good for our children and those under us to follow our leadership, are we leading to the Lord? Are we leading in that right way where we give credit first and foremost to the Lord? So number one, securely shackled. Securely shackled. There's a double meaning here. Yes, literally, Paul and Silas are shackled. I mean, they're locked up. They're in these stocks in the inner cell. But then also, who are they shackled to? Not a guard, not the prison walls. They're shackled to Jesus. Paul says, "I am a bondservant or a slave to Christ." So the crowd rose up against them. Did you notice that they started beating and whipping them before there was innocent, before proven guilty? Like, yep, these guys are guilty. Wham! Stripping them, beating them. Can you imagine? What do you think Paul and Silas are thinking? Yep, we deserve it. We probably shouldn't have been talking about Jesus. No, they're like, sweet, bring it. Right? Like that wincing when you get hit, every time they're like, yes, Lord, whew, that's for you. What did these men do that was so horrific? I mean, were they shoplifters? You know, in some countries, if you shoplift, what happens? Cut your hand off, maybe break your hand so you're a little disabled for a while. No, these guys weren't thieves. Were they doing evil and stirring up trouble like they were accused of? No, these guys were bringing peace, right? They were bringing comfort and encouragement and casting out this evil demon. Did anybody ask the woman how she felt? Great. I'm not being persecuted anymore. That was awesome. You know, but we don't care about you. We just care about what? They wanted the money. They're like, oh, this lady's not going to bring us any goods anymore. you know what, how about ask this lady to do something productive and help your community? I bet you she would, now that she's free. So they brought truth and peace and order, not confusion and chaos that they were accused of. And when they had struck them, they threw them into prison. So again, not a fair trial, right? And it says in John 8:31, speak the truth. If you share my truth, the truth will set you free. In John 15:20, if they persecuted me, guess what, believers? They will persecute you. And having received, in verse 24, such a command, they threw them into the inner prison, fastened their feet to the stocks. Let me tell you a little bit about the inner prison. This isn't, you know, passing through jail. Not your card when you play Monopoly. This isn't just visiting. This isn't even just jail. You sped down the street, and the officer's like, now you need to spend some time to think about that one. This is the inner prison. This is the darkest. There's no windows. You don't get to see the Wayne Macon baseball field from your window and hear the joys of the children. Like, this is serious. And so the guard is like, whoa, what did these guys do? Yeah, I'm locking you up. He locks them in the stocks, in wood stocks, harness them, and they're in this deep prison. Can you see any parallels to Christ, by the way? It's all about Jesus, but can you see any parallels already? Jesus, was he fairly tried? Was he beaten? Was he stocked to a tree? Absolutely. Beaten and bound to a tree. But Paul had just visited James, by the way, just before this, in the Council of Jerusalem. He knew the Lord's brother, right? James, Jesus's brother. What does James have to say? Pastor Phil just mentioned it. Consider it joy, my brothers, when facing the easy life, because that's when you're the most joyous. No, when persecution, difficulties, trials come, why? It is for your good and endurance, producing an okay man, a somewhat good guy, no, a perfect man in Christ Jesus. He also knew Philippians 3:10 because he wrote the book. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's Paul. You think Paul's excited every time they hit him? I mean, I don't know if he's that guy, but I do know in his heart, he's like, this is for you, Lord. This is for you. Do you do that in your workplace? Your boss is like, hey, mandatory overtime. Sweet. Opportunity for Jesus, right? Sweet. I get to pick up all the neighborhood kids because my kid knows them all. That's awesome. Let's bump some Jesus music and talk about the Lord the whole way. Some people are smiling. I know you. I know you're doing those things. 2 Corinthians, Paul again writes the book, 12:10. Therefore, I am well content with the weakness and insults and distress and persecution and difficulties for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am weaker? No, strong, absolutely. And then again, earlier in Acts 9:16, and this is when Paul is about to get found on the Damascus Road, or he had been, and this is Ananias who was going to disciple him. The Spirit said to Ananias, for I will show him, in Acts 9:16, how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, joy. Oh, joy. And you know what? Paul did consider it a joy. I heard this last week, our family just reads a little devotional in the morning time. We pray together. And there was this Billy Graham devotional. He said, the missionary Corrie ten Boom shared this story with him. So he's relaying the story about when she was suffering in the Nazi prison camps. And he said that she, you know, had suffered and, you know, went through horrific times by smuggling in the Jews and trying to protect them. And 35 years, she had no place to lay her head, no house. And so this good brother at the end of, you know, kind of her time of sharing and traveling and being a witness about the Lord, he said, hey, Corrie, can I buy you a house? God's blessed me. I feel like he's laid that on my heart. She's like, sure, that's great. Buys the house, comes over, and he's like, oh, Corrie, look at this. This is amazing. What a blessing from God. Isn't God good? She's like, wait a minute. You're telling me when I was suffering and struggling in the prison that God wasn't good then? God's always good. Point number two, I better hurry. We got some communion to do. Prayers, songs, and praise to the Lord. Praise broke out. Does it break out in your heart? The song and praise, and maybe those old hymns come to your mind. You know, God, you are the everlasting God. You know, those truths, we do try to be intentional here in our worship. You know, going along with the message and just, Lord, what would you have for us? And so those songs that we sing, hopefully they stir in your heart a little bit, even if you don't know it because it's a new one, or you're like younger and you're like, what is a hymn? Listen to the words. I mean, maybe that beat isn't that step that you're stepping to during the week, but maybe it'll minister to your heart, right? So listen to those and meditate on those. It says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were struggling because they'd been beaten so bad. They're like, hey, let me get your wounds in your back. Silas, you probably can't reach that one. No, they were singing. What? Anybody sing while you've been beat down? I mean, it's hard, right? You're like, Jesus loves me. Struggling to get out that basic song, right? And God's like, no, I put a new song in your heart. And they sang at midnight. Again, I'm asleep by midnight and I'm a youth pastor, but they were already beaten and bruised. The Lord is awesome. What were they doing? It says they were praying first. What do you think they were praying for? Yeah, maybe protection. God, heal us, right? That's in there, I'm sure. We're human. We would do the same thing. God, would you heal us? What else were they praying for? Who were they praying for? They're in the inner prison. They're surrounded by who? Prisoners. Other people who praise God all the time? No. God had to break them to what? To bring them into prison and sing and pray. God, would you be with my cellmate over here who probably doesn't know you? And I don't know. They could have been praying quietly, but I kind of doubt it if they're singing loudly. Again, nobody wants to hear my singing voice. That's why I'm not on the worship team. I'm worshiping over here. But they're probably praying out loud. Lord, be with, protect us, but be with these guys over here. Bring salvation. Bring a victory. This is the plug for our prayer night on Thursday night. If you're not a part of that, why not? And come be a part, because they pray for everything. This group is committed to praying for the prayers that you've sent to Rosie that, you know, are on your hearts. You've just emailed or you've said, hey, would you? And it's not a gossip session. Nobody's talking about it other than in that room praying. And it's powerful. What are they doing? What else? They're praising. They're singing hymns. And they are worshiping. Their hearts are bowed low to the Lord. They are honoring God. Look at what happened in the middle of a worship session. Did you know that God uses the worshipers to lead the armies? Come on, Bruce. Come on, worship team. You're going before us. What? No sword? No gun? No cannon? No nuclear weapon? Yeah, you are the nuclear weapon because you're praising my name. I have gone before you. And so Joshua, Pastor Phil mentioned it, Joshua 1:9, but then Joshua 7:12 through 16 is the Battle of Jericho where they march around the wall. They blow trumpets and they give a mighty shout. And suddenly a great earthquake in the foundations of the prison, verse 26, says, were shaken and immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains. Just Paul and Silas? It's not what I read. Everyone's chains were unfastened or broken. God breaks the chains. Number three. Through difficulty, God brings salvation. Amen. It says, when the jailer awoke, he saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that what had happened? The prisoners escaped. He knew the job. He knew, by the way, he was sleeping before. And now this happened. He's like, oh man, my sin will find me out, which is so true. That's why we need to confess it. And so he's about to take his life. And Paul yells out, this was really cool as we were going over this Bible study. I think it was Levi that brought this to our attention, my attention. He's like, Jeremy, did you catch that? I'm like, no. What? He said, the jailer called for the lights. So it was dark. Paul didn't know he was about to kill himself. That was a miracle. He called out, don't harm yourself. Isn't that cool? God sees around the corners and through the walls. Paul and Silas were at peace in prison. And here is a free man trapped by his sin. The guard is in unbelief. He knows why he's here. And he wants what? What does he desire? Salvation. He asks, what must I do to be saved? And so, number four, salvation in Jesus produces great rejoicing. Have you been there? Maybe it was at a youth camp. Maybe it was in your bathroom. Maybe it was out at the beach. But you're just praising the Lord because your name is written in the book. And you're like, and I'm taking all the prisoners with me. Come on, guys. Get those chains off of you. Verse 31 says, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Is it that simple? It really is. A third grader can teach us a lot. They can write it on a napkin. They know it in their heart. Jesus says, let the little children come to me. And so it is that simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus. By the way, that word belief isn't the belief where the demons know and believe, like this lady we just talked about. It's not he is the Lord Most High, because they know that. So it's not up here. What is this belief we're talking about? It's a heart belief. It's a faith belief in Jesus. Faith has action. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with who else? Him and all of his what? All of his household. And it says they were baptized later on down the road. When they understood what the gospel really meant, because Jesus probably didn't touch your heart, young little Jesse. You know, we know better. We're adults. You're not really a Christian yet. No, it says immediately they were baptized, he and his whole household. Jesus didn't wait. You notice that? He acted immediately, and so therefore Paul and Silas didn't wait either. Oh, there's so much more. Verse 34, and he brought them into his house. Again, I love this fellowship. Thank you for those who have this. And they set food before them. They rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with he and his whole household. I love that there was a big party afterwards, because you know what was going on in heaven? Party. They were excited. We tell our little kids that when one little sinner comes to the Lord, what happens in heaven? The angels are rejoicing. Do we remember that? That God is actually singing over us? He paid a big price, his son, his only son, Jesus. He must kind of like us. He must absolutely love us. All the angels in heaven and all the creatures, all those creatures that Pastor Phil's been teaching us about in Revelation, they were rejoicing because the shepherd had found another lost son. What a well-executed plan, I would say. Hey, let's let some of my brothers, my boys who are bringing the gospel get beaten and go into the inner city, share my love. I would say for baseball, this is a home run. I don't know what you call it in wrestling, but in baseball, this is a homer. The boys hit it. God used them. Actually, it was God's home run. Let's finish up. Acts 16:40 says they went out of prison. They entered the house of Lydia. So they came back where the good food and fellowship was. They saw the brothers. They encouraged them and they departed and went out. Church, guess what? Instead of the crowd rising up, guess what's happening? The church is rising up. The church rose up together. They brought godly encouragement and unity. That's a good word for somebody today. There was unity. The work of God always brings his people together, especially in difficulty. So rise up, church. The victory belongs to the Lord. Let me pray, and then we'll get to celebrate the communion together. Jesus, you are bringing salvation today. Break the chains, Father. God, would you let us know that the gospel is simple. It's to believe in Jesus. The name of Jesus is what saves us. And so, Father, stir in that heart today. God, break the chains, the Woodstock, so that you would have a mighty victory, Jesus. We love you, Father. We know you're speaking to us. We know we're becoming more unified in this difficult time. And God, I pray for the boldness like Paul and Silas had. Lord, may that same spirit of Jesus be in us as we leave this place. We love you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.